So I've shortened my title a little bit here because really what we're talking about is the work that we've done on with GIS and population-based data to help build our infrastructure in New York State to improve access to evidence-based self-management programs for persons with disabilities. So I have nothing to disclose. I would like to acknowledge the funding for this work from the National Center for Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities at CDC. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the New York State Disability and Health Program, and then we'll take a little deeper dive into evidence-based self-management programs and why they're important and why they're important to public health in particular. And then we'll look a little bit more at our GIS capacity and the population-based data that we use to inform our work around evidence-based self-management, and also how we've leveraged other statewide interest in these programs to advance the inclusion of people with disabilities. And then we'll obviously talk about some next steps. So first, New York is one of 18 states that are funded by the Centers for Disease Control to promote health for people with disabilities. And we do that, you know, across a broad spectrum of healthy lifestyles, access to care, community engagement. So, yeah, what was I going to say about that? Let me get caught up here. So in New York, our program is based in the State Health Department and some of the other states that are in University Centers of Excellence, but we are based in the State Health Department, and my program in particular is based in the Division of Chronic Disease, which is a good placement for us to be able to influence those topics we talked about earlier in terms of healthy lifestyles. So before I get too much more into evidence-based self-management programs, I just wanted to be sure we're all on the same page. If you're familiar with these programs, you'll know that Stanford University is really the leader in evidence-based self-management as it relates to chronic disease. So these programs have been put through randomized trials and have been demonstrated the same improved outcomes. So if one implements these programs with fidelity, you should be able to expect the same health outcomes that were demonstrated during the trials. So we've got a whole swell of interest in evidence-based self-management programs in New York State. I also direct the arthritis program in our state, and we have identified disability as a health equity population under that funding, which also is implementing a selected suite of evidence-based self-management programs, reaching 50,000 participants by 2017. The state's health improvement plan is known as the prevention agenda in New York State, and there's 5 action plans within the prevention agenda. One of them, of course, is on chronic disease. And within the chronic disease action plan, we have a priority strategy on advancing the use and access to evidence-based and culturally relevant evidence-based self-management programs. So we've been able to integrate disability throughout the prevention agenda, and in particular in the chronic disease action plan and within this work around evidence-based self-management programs. And I'm sure New York is not alone in the very many things that are changing around healthcare delivery in different systems. There's patient-centered medical homes, the balancing incentive program, and in New York, what we're calling the Delivery System Reform Incentive Program, or the DSRIP, which is a really transformational way of delivering health care to our Medicaid beneficiaries. We're reinvesting $8 billion of the $17.1 billion saved in Medicaid redesign in New York State in the DSRIP to transform health care. All of those different types of reforming health care include evidence-based self-management programs as a priority. We also have work going on that we partner with our New York State Office for the Aging, their area agency offices on aging, and the Aging and Disability Resource Centers. They receive Title D 3D funding from the Older Americans Act to implement programs, and those now have been mandated to be evidence-based, with a particular focus on the Stanford suite of programs. And recent CDC grants that have come out for the chronic disease prevention and management for obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and other chronic conditions. Some of you may know them as 1422 or 1305, that's how what we call them, have also integrated these evidence-based self-management programs as a requirement. So I've been talking about these, and what are they? The first 4 here are from the Stanford suite of programs. the chronic disease self-management program, diabetes self-management, positive self-pain management, Walker-Dees is an arthritis foundation intervention, active living every day, active choices, matter of balance, and the National Diabetes Prevention Program. The ones that are bolded are the ones that we're focusing on in particular to advance the inclusion of people with disabilities. So you may be wondering how we're wrangling all of these different agencies, organizations, and healthcare transformation, and different grant sources that are supporting these evidence-based interventions, how we're really wrangling that all in and working collaboratively to advance this work. So we've created a statewide evidence-based self-management leadership team that the Department of Health convenes, and myself, the New York State Office for the Aging, is part of that group. I've already talked about them. And then the final partner is QTAC New York, which is stands for the Quality and Technical Assistance Center. It's based at SUNY Albany, Center for Excellence in Aging and Community Wellness. And they really are the, as their name implies, the Quality and Technical Assistance Center. They do all of the training for the evidence-based self-management programs. They train the leaders. They monitor fidelity. They also collect a lot of data for us. We've been able to integrate the two BRFSS screeners as well as the ACS disability questions in the participant information form. So we have that information to look at as they deliver workshops. So this is New York State, just to give you a little orientation. The yellow circles are our areas of highest population, and I understand, I haven't been watching the news, but Kim informed me that Buffalo, over here, got 90 inches of snow the day before last. I know back at home where I live, up here in Saratoga, we got 4 inches of snow, so I'm glad all that snow didn't come that far west. But so that's Erie County, that's Buffalo, Monroe is the next one over. That includes the city of Rochester. Onondaga includes the city of Syracuse. Broome on the bottom includes Binghamton, and then the Capital District, Albany, Rensselaer, Troy, and of course New York City are our most populous counties. So how does New Yorkers with Disabilities fare in relation to chronic disease? These are 2012 BRFSS data. The blue bar indicates disability. Across the bottom we have arthritis, hypertension, obesity, depression, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, COPD, coronary heart disease, and cancer. And we see the obviously great burden that those conditions have among persons with disabilities. So how have we used our data that we have, not only on our programs, but the population-based data to really focus our work? So we've used we had geocoded all of our existing workshop sites. I'm going to specifically speak about the chronic disease self-management program in the rest of these slides, not any of the other EBSMs. So we've looked at the programs and then looked at the population-based burden of chronic disease as well as the disability prevalence using a couple of different data sets that I will describe. So there were basically four data sets, the expanded BRFSS from 2008 to 2009, which is a county level administration of the BRFSS. We have the data now, we just haven't been able to analyze it. We re-administered that for 2013-14, and that included the ACS questions for disability as well as the standard BRF screener, so we're looking forward to having that data soon. We used the, is that right? I think it's 2008 to 2012. American Community Survey summary file with the disability variables, and then the geographic locations of the sites that have the capacity to deliver the programs and also those that are active delivery sites, and then information from the participant information survey. So this is a county-level map, obviously, of a chronic disease composite risk score that used the expanded BRFSS data obesity, physical inactivity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease, I think. So the lighter colors are those with lower risk, and the darker colors are counties with higher risk. and we've overlaid that with our geocoded sites for the CDSMP capacity and delivery. So capacity means that they have people who have been trained, and they have an MOU with the QTAC to deliver a program. And then the delivery sites are actually sites who have delivered the CDSMP within the last 6 months. So you can see that, you know, we can use this data to see whether or not we've placed our programs in areas where there is a need for a chronic disease self-management program. And then for areas where, like in the upper left-hand corner here, I believe that's Yates County. I've brought my cheat sheet here. Niagara. We can see that we have a lot of capacity, but there's not a lot of delivery going on. So that's really how we can target our efforts to get partners to begin doing more recruitment in those areas where we have capacity, but they're not delivering any workshops. And also we have work to do where there's no workshops, like in that southern tier area there, Steuben and Allegheny County. That's like the second, third and fourth one over from the left. Need to do some work there. Sullivan County, which is on the lower level there. You can't see much of New York City in this. It's very dark down there, but we've got a lot of programs going on. And then you'll see this kind of big vacant spot in the upper right-hand corner. Most of that is the Adirondack Park in New York State, which is largely undeveloped and protected. I don't think I mentioned earlier, but I meant to, that we really try to work at a systems level to get partners that have a statewide structure and lots of local programs. So we rolled out Walk with Ease with, for example, with our state employee assistance program, and they can. With every state agency has coordinators. So there's 500 coordinators. So that's kind of how we identify our partners to roll out these interventions. So right now we're working with the Department of Environmental Conservation, which oversees the Adirondack Park, to see if there's a way that we can work through that structure to build some more capacity in that area. Okay, so if you can remember that other map, this is disability prevalence and the CDSMP capacity and delivery. So here again, the darker colors are the higher level of prevalence, and the lighter colors are lower level of prevalence of disability. Again, we see many counties here where we have no programs at all, but yet a very high rate of disability. I forgot to mention that we don't have the similar chronic disease composite score risk for people with disabilities yet, because we couldn't do it with the 2008-2009 BRFSS data, but we will be able to do it with the 2013-14 data. So we'll have that extra piece of information to look at chronic disease burden and disability prevalence, and do the same kind of mapping to target our efforts. So, going from the county level, we can also look at the census tract level. So, as census tracts are built on, the numbers of people numbers of people in an area create a census tract. So that's in larger populous areas, they get all muddy and you really can't tell too much about what's going on there, but you can see that the darker colors are the highest disability prevalence, but those are, larger geographic areas. Hopefully that made sense. It's a little hard to describe census tract methodology for me. So here we have another map with the census tract, again, with our CDSMP delivery sites and capacity sites. You can see, so this is, the census tracts are, they're not really towns or anything like that. They're a neighborhood kind of level grouping of folks. So we can really target at the neighborhood level where we need to increase our efforts to build programs and delivery sites. And you can see where we have a lot of work to do. So I took one county in particular, Albany County, to look at the census tract level. So this right in here is, the city of Albany itself, where we have a lot of delivery going on. These are some of the outer reaches in colonies, probably not going to mean much to you, where we have capacity but no delivery. Down here we have a great disability prevalence, and this is an area called Selkirk and Ravenna that we obviously need to do some work in. And then we have the whole western part of the county that really needs to do some, where we really need to target some of our work. So over the last year, we've had held 232 workshops and had 1917 participants. Of those participants, 44% met the BRFSS disability definition, and 48% met the ACS definition. And that we had a baseline going into this of 25% participation based on the BRFSS definition anyway. And so we've done real well in increasing our ability to reach people with disabilities with this particular evidence-based program. I throw this one in here just to give you an idea of how we can use some of our participant information form, participant information to help our leaders of these programs better understand the population that they may be serving. So you can see that we have a lot of folks who have mobility disabilities. They all get, you know, trained about holding their workshops in accessible locations, but, you know, we make sure that they have, we just recently did a webinar specifically on that, providing that physical access, since we have a large number of people with ambulatory disabilities. Similarly, we're working on strategies for cognitive impairments. So we're going to continue to do this mapping. I think it holds really, really good promise to focus our interventions when recruitment of people with disabilities is so difficult, that if we can really target where they are residing and also where there's a high burden of chronic disease, we're hopeful that we can get them involved in these programs. And we can also then see, as you saw, where there is capacity to deliver, but it's not happening, and we can work with those providers on increasing their ability to reach people. And then we'll move on to that whole list of other EBSMs that I showed you earlier to apply the same strategy. That's it. Thank you.